This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Early voting is happening across West Virginia. The state is now less than 1 week from its official primary election day on Tuesday, May 10th. Although West Virginia has a small number of delegates to promise a candidate at the upcoming party conventions when compared to many others, presidential candidates on both sides are converging on the state, vying for voter support. Joining me in the studio this morning to discuss the presidential races in the state is Assistant News Director and State House Reporter Ashton Mara. Ashton, good morning.
Good morning, Beth.
You've spent much of the past couple of days following former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on her stops in West Virginia. Where was she yesterday?
Beth, Clinton stopped in Charleston yesterday to hold a panel discussion focused on substance abuse, a big issue not just in West Virginia but across the country. She heard from people like Dr. Raul Gupta, the state's chief public health officer, but also more personal stories from Charleston native David Grubb. Grubb is, of course, the father of Jessica Grubb, and he shared his story about his daughter's addiction with President Obama during his visit in October. Jessica passed away earlier this year of an opioid overdose, and now Grubb and Senator Joe Manchin are working to pass a new federal law that would voluntarily allow addicts to place their addiction prominently on their medical record. Clinton says substance abuse, particularly opioid abuse, has been something she's continually talked about on the campaign trail.
My campaign is about breaking down all the barriers that stand in the way of individual Americans getting ahead and in the way of our country getting ahead. And one of those barriers, which I have been learning about and addressing over the past year, is this epidemic of opioid addiction that very often then moves into heroin addiction. And the heartbreak in families and communities is just overwhelming.
That was Clinton's second stop in the state, and her husband, former President Bill Clinton, was also in West Virginia over the weekend. And those other stops were met with much more animosity than in Charleston yesterday.
That's right, Beth. President Clinton was interrupted by angry attendees of his rally in Logan over the weekend, criticizing comments that Secretary Clinton has made about the coal industry. And then Monday in Williamson, dozens of protesters carrying Donald Trump signs filled the streets outside Secretary Clinton's event, chanting things like, "Hillary is a crook," or "Go home, Hillary." Those protesters even lashed out at Senator Joe Manchin, who has endorsed Clinton and has been traveling with her through the state this week. That's, of course, all stems from a statement Clinton made during a town hall meeting in Ohio earlier this year, where she said she was going to, quote, "put a lot of coal miners out of work." In Williamson, Clinton again apologized for the comment, saying it was taken out of context.
Staying on the Democratic side of the ticket, Bernie Sanders attracted more than 6,000 supporters to his rally in Huntington a little over a week ago. But his campaign has laid off workers across the country, it's been reported. Is Sanders slowing in this race?
As far as West Virginia is concerned, Sanders is definitely not slowing down. The Vermont senator pulled off a big win in Indiana last night and announced he would spend Thursday traveling the state once again. Sanders is scheduled to visit a food bank in McDowell County Thursday morning and then will hold large rallies like the one we saw in Huntington, one in South Charleston Thursday afternoon, the other in Morgantown Thursday evening. Beth, a poll released just yesterday by the national firm Public Policy Polling is just the latest to show that Sanders can win in West Virginia. That poll actually puts him in the lead in the state, receiving 45% of the Democratic vote compared to Clinton's 37%.
That poll also shows that on the Republican side, Donald Trump is way ahead in West Virginia.
Trump is up big in that specific poll, winning 61% of the vote. But Trump is now considered the presumptive Republican nominee after winning Indiana last night. Texas Senator Ted Cruz dropped out of the race after the loss. And Ohio Governor John Kasich, you know, he's still running, but he's way behind in the delegate count. in the delegate count needed to win the nomination. Almost immediately after Trump was named the winner in Indiana, his campaign announced he would visit West Virginia this week. He's scheduled to be here in Charleston at the Charleston Civic Center Thursday evening at 7 as well. And Beth, I just want to point out quickly that yesterday we also had a major endorsement for Trump in West Virginia. Senate President Bill Cole, who is the Republican nominee for governor, announced his support for Trump. On the Democratic side, Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler Kessler has endorsed Bernie Sanders, but neither Booth Goodwin nor Jim Justice, the other two Democrats running for governor, have chosen a candidate.
Ashton Morrow will be covering the Trump event tomorrow here in Charleston, and the news team will bring you the latest from across the state as Democrat Bernie Sanders makes his stops as well. For all of the latest election coverage, visit our website, elections.wvpublic.org. Ashton will be hearing from you in just moments with a profile of Supreme Court Justice incumbent Brent Benjamin, who's running for re-election. We'll look forward to that. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Beth.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:49. Mostly cloudy skies today, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, temperatures in the 60s. Rain and thunderstorms could continue tonight. Some of these storms could produce some small hail. Overnight lows in the 40s. Rain likely on Thursday with thunderstorms possible Thursday afternoon. Daytime highs in the 50s and low 60s. Rain Thursday night. Partial clearing in the west on Friday. Rain likely in the east. Temperatures remaining in the 50s and 60s on Friday.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by WVU Medicine, Children's Clinics and Hospital, serving the healthcare needs of all West Virginia's children, online at wvukids.com.
Five candidates are running for one open seat on West Virginia's Supreme Court of Appeals. The seat is currently held by Justice Brent Benjamin, who has been a controversial candidate in the past. But as Ashton Mara reports, the conservative lawyer turned centrist justice is attempting to move past his former political ties in this nonpartisan race.
Brent Benjamin's story as a candidate for the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals is one that can pretty easily be told through campaign advertisements. Let's start with this one.
Early release of a convicted child rapist? McGraw, yes. Benjamin, no. More job-killing lawsuits? McGraw, yes. Benjamin, no.
That television commercial was released in 2004 during Benjamin's first bid for Supreme Court. It was paid for by Don Blankenship, who then was the CEO of Massey Energy. Since, Blankenship has been convicted to a year in prison for conspiring to violate federal mine safety laws in connection to the Upper Big Branch mine disaster. During the 2004 race, Blankenship funneled big bucks into attack ads to beat then-Justice Warren McGraw. Ads like this one.
Liberal Judge Warren McGraw cast the deciding vote to set this reprehensible criminal free.
More than a decade later, political watchers in West Virginia still remember the ads. Justice Benjamin remembers them too.
In 2004, we saw the effect of independent groups out there, independent of the candidates, spending lots of money. Those are special interests. Candidates didn't have any control over that, neither myself or Warren McGraw then. And it dwarfed the message that the candidates could get out. That's not a good thing.
But in 2016, the cycle of high levels of outside spending is repeating itself. The latest campaign finance filings show these independent groups have spent nearly $2 million on the Supreme Court race in West Virginia, some $200,000 more than the five candidates themselves. That outside spending is just one of many reasons Benjamin says he chose to participate in the state's public campaign financing program this election cycle, a program only available to Supreme Court candidates. After meeting certain requirements, candidates who choose to participate can be awarded $500,000 in public monies to fund their election bid. Benjamin and one other candidate chose that route.
It is the single best way to help the public or reassure the public that there are no undue influences from anybody outside the state or any PACs or groups out there that have agendas in the court system.
But Benjamin's participation in the program was contested by his fellow candidate Beth Walker, who sued over a state election commission decision to certify and award public funds to the Benjamin campaign. Even after a West Virginia Supreme Court ruling upholding the SEC decision, Benjamin's opponents have criticized him for using public funds in a tough financial time for the state.
First of all, that's a policy decision. And if you're going to be a judge, you should leave policy decisions to the legislature. And here the legislature listened to the people And the people told them, this is the program we want. It's that important, too. If you look where the dollars come from, it's not coming from general revenue. To the extent anyone's saying it does, they're just plain wrong. They don't understand the system.
The system pulls money from special accounts set aside by lawmakers, Benjamin says, not diverting dollars from other state programs. Today, Benjamin's political advertisements, paid for with those public dollars, sound significantly different than those that aired during the 2004 election. Now, they focus on what Benjamin views as personal accomplishments from his time on the court.
Supreme Court Justice Brent Benjamin's drug courts are saving taxpayers over $20 million per year, reducing repeat offenses by over 70%, and saving lives.
Creating and expanding the drug court diversionary programs in West Virginia has been a passion project for Benjamin. The courts allow drug offenders, drug addicts, to get treatment instead of going to prison.
Every statistic is a human being in West Virginia. And we have found that the drug problem affects every level of our society. And it's really hurting our state.
Benjamin says the program has graduated more than 1,400 people, and few reoffend. Along with standard drug courts, Benjamin has helped create a small number of specialized courts for veterans and juveniles as well. It's his work on these programs that Benjamin says will overshadow voter concerns about ties to Blankenship.
We've come so far in 12 years, but we have things to do, and we have things to get accomplished over the next 12 years. And I'm running for re-election, and I'm asking for the people's support and their votes again so that we can accomplish these very important tasks and these very important goals.
This year, judicial officers, including Supreme Court candidates, are being elected on a nonpartisan basis, meaning when you go to the polls, you won't see a designating R or D next to a candidate's name. This year is also the first time judges will be elected during the May 10th primary, something Benjamin supports. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.